Welcome to New World Notes, hosted by Kenneth Doust. Today, part two of our memorial. More great political and social satire by comedian George Carlin. I hope you'll stay tuned. More fine routines from comedian George Carlin with part two of our memorial. Carlin was one of the most astute critics of American life, and certainly the funniest. He died on June 22, 2008. Carlin was a good comedian. He gained a large base of fans in the 1960s and 1970s, doing innocuous stuff that fit comfortably into commercial television and records. In time, though, his satire became increasingly critical of the U.S. culture, government, military, and the corporations. His politics drifted more and more leftwards. Cool. By 1990, he had become pretty much a radical. But by then, he was such a star in the comedy world, such a moneymaker for the media corporations, that they kept giving him airplay and record and video deals. In corporate America, profit trumps ideology. Thank goodness in this case. Let's start with one of Carlin's best and most scathing attacks on the real rulers of America. They own you.
Politicians have traditionally hidden behind three things: the flag, the Bible, and children. No child left behind. No child left behind. Oh, really? Well, it wasn't long ago you were talking about giving kids a head start. Head start, left behind. Someone's losing ground here. But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the... They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting f***ed by a system that threw them overboard 30 years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Man. You know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Now, to balance the scale, I'd like to talk about some things that bring us together. Things that point out our similarities instead of our differences. Because that's all you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us. Things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the f***ing money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. You know, anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank. You know how I describe the economic and social classes in this country? The upper class keeps all of the money, pays none of the taxes. The middle class pays all of the taxes, does all of the work. The poor are there just to scare the shit out of the middle class. Keep them showing up at those jobs. So stirring up is something I like to do from time to time, but I also like to know that I can come back to these little things we have in common, little universal moments that we share separately, the things that make us the same. They're so small we hardly ever talk about them. Did you ever look at your watch? And then you don't know what time it is. And you have to look again. And you still don't know the time. So you look a third time and somebody says, "What time is it?" You say, "I don't know."
Classic Carlin, I think from the early 1990s. Another frequent Carlin topic was the airlines. Last week we heard him take on the airlines' lies and euphemisms. This week, he takes on airport security. Airport security leads to Americans' overreactions to another threat, the threat of germs. And talking about overreacting naturally leads to the topic of parenting. Here again is George Carlin.
First thing on my list tonight, airport security. Tired of this shit. There's too much of it. There's too much security at the airport. I'm tired of some guy with a double-digit IQ and a triple-digit income rooting around inside of my bag for no reason and never finding anything. Haven't found anything yet. Haven't found one bomb in one bag. And don't tell me, well, the terrorists know their bags are going to be searched, so now they're leaving their bombs at home. There are no bombs. The whole thing is pointless. And it's completely without logic. There's no logic at all. They'll take away a gun, but let you keep a knife. Well, what the f*** is that? In fact, there's a whole list of lethal objects they will allow you to take on board. Theoretically, you could take a knife, an ice pick, a hatchet, a straight razor, a pair of scissors, a chainsaw, 6 knitting needles, and a broken whiskey bottle, and the only thing they're going to say to you is that bag has to fit all the way under the seat in front of you. And if you didn't take a weapon on board, relax. After you've been flying for about an hour, they're going to bring you a knife and fork. They actually give you a knife. It's only a table knife, but you could kill a pilot with a table knife. Might take you a couple of minutes, you know. Especially if he's hefty, huh? Yeah, but you could get the job done if you really wanted to kill the... There's a lot of things you could use to kill a guy with. You could probably beat a guy to death with the Sunday New York Times, couldn't you? Or suppose you just had really big hands. Couldn't you strangle a flight attendant? You could probably strangle two of them, one with each hand. You know, if you were lucky enough to catch them in that little kitchen area before they give out the peanuts, you know? But you could get the job done if you really cared enough. So why isn't they allow a man with big, powerful hands to get on board an airplane? I'll tell you why. They know he's not a security risk because he's already answered the three big questions. Question number one, did you pack your bags yourself? No. Carrot Top packed my bags. He and Martha Stewart and Florence Henderson came over to the house last night, fixed me a lovely lobster Newburgh, gave me a full body massage with sacred oils from India, performed a four-way around the world, and then they packed my bags. Next question. Have your bags been in your possession the whole time? No. Usually the night before I travel, just as the moon is rising, I place my suitcases out on the street corner and leave them there unattended for several hours. Just for good luck. Next question. Has any unknown person asked you to take anything on board? Well, what exactly is an unknown person? Surely everyone is known to someone. In fact, just this morning, Kareem and Youssef Ali Ben Gaba seemed to know each other quite well. They kept joking about which one of my suitcases was the heaviest. And that's another thing they don't like at the airport, jokes. You know? Yeah, you can't joke about a bomb. Well, why is it just jokes? What about a riddle? How about a limerick? How about a bomb anecdote? You know, no punchline, just a really cute story. Or suppose you intended the remark not as a joke, but as an ironic musing. Are they prepared to make that distinction? Why, I think not. And besides, who's to say what's funny? Airport security is a stupid idea, it's a waste of money, and it's only there for one reason, to make white people feel safe. That's all. The illusion. The feeling and illusion of safety. Because the authorities know they can't make an airplane completely safe. Too many people have access. You'll notice the drug smugglers don't seem to have a lot of trouble getting their little packages on board, do they? No, and God bless them too. And by the way, an airplane flight shouldn't be completely safe. You need a little danger in your life. Take a chance once in a while, will you? What are you going to do, play with your for another 30 years? What are you going to read People magazine and eat at Wendy's till the end of time? Take a chance. Besides, even if they made all of the airplanes completely safe, the terrorists would simply start bombing other places that are crowded. Porn shops, crack houses, bars and gangbangs. You know, entertainment venues. The odds of you being killed by a terrorist are practically zero. So I say relax and enjoy the show. You have to be a realist. You have to be realistic about terrorism. Certain groups of people, certain groups, Muslim fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, Jewish fundamentalists, and just plain guys from Montana are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment, especially after your stupid economy collapses all around you and the terrorists come out of the woodwork and you'll have anthrax in your water supply and sarin gas in your air conditioner. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city, and I say enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a chance. Put a little fun in your life. I have always been willing to put myself at great personal risk for the sake of entertainment, and I've always been willing to put you at great personal risk for the same reason. As far as I'm concerned, all of this airport security, all the searches, the screenings, the cameras, the questions, it's just one more way of reducing your liberty and reminding you that they can f*** with you anytime they want. As long as you put up with it. As long as you put up with it.
which means, of course, anytime they want, because that's what Americans do now. They're always willing to trade away a little of their freedom in exchange for the feeling, the illusion of security. What we have now is a completely neurotic population obsessed with security and safety and crime and drugs and cleanliness and hygiene and germs. There's another thing, germs. Where did this sudden fear of germs come from in this country? Have you noticed this? The media constantly running stories about all the latest infections, salmonella, E. coli, hantavirus, bird flu. And Americans, they panic easily. So now everybody's running around scrubbing this and spraying that and overcooking their food and repeatedly washing their hands, trying to avoid all contact with germs. It's ridiculous, and it goes to ridiculous lengths. In prisons, before they give you a lethal injection, they swab your arm with alcohol. It's true. It's true. It's true. Well, they don't want you to get an infection. And you can see their point. Wouldn't want some guy to go to hell and be sick. It would take a lot of the sportsmanship out of the whole execution. Fear of germs. Why these you can't even get a decent hamburger anymore. Here's another pack of low-grade morons who ought to be locked into portable toilets and set on fire. These people with bumper stickers that say, "We are the proud parents of an honor student at the Franklin School." Or the Midvale Academy, or whatever other innocent-sounding name has been assigned to the indoctrination center where their child has been sent to be stripped of his individuality and turned into an obedient, soul-dead, conformist member of the American consumer culture. Proud parents. What kind of empty people need to validate themselves through the achievements of their children? How'd you like that to live with a couple of these misfits? How's that science project coming along, Justin? F*** you, Dad. Here's a bumper sticker I'd like to see. We are the proud parents of a child whose self-esteem is sufficient that he doesn't need us promoting his minor scholastic achievements on the back of our car. That was pretty sick, good. Or, we are the proud parents of a child who has resisted his teacher's attempts to break his spirit and bend him to the will of his corporate masters. Just be a nice little for change, you know? Here's something realistic. We have a daughter in public school who hasn't been knocked up yet. We have a son in public school who hasn't shot any of his classmates yet. But he does sell drugs to your honor student. Plus, he knocked up your daughter. Here are some more parents who ought to be beaten with heavy clubs and left bleeding in the moonlight. These are the ones who carry their babies around in these backpacks or front packs or slings or whatever these devices are called that are apparently designed to leave the parents' hands free to sort through high-end merchandise and reach for their platinum credit cards. Because it's always these upscale, yuppie-looking, Greenpeace, environmentally conscious to have them on, you know? I say, "Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Natural Fibers." I say, "Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Natural Fibers. It's not camping equipment. It's a baby. Touch the little now and then. He'll thank you for it someday." These are the same people who sort their garbage, jog with their dogs, and listen to Steely Dan. You just like to take them out deep into the forest and disembowel them with a wooden cooking spoon.
Carlin's satire also could take a lighter tone. He could sound like Horace as well as Juvenal, as we English majors are wont to say. Anyway, here is an example of Carlin's lighter satire, The Book Club.
Join the book club. As an introductory offer, we'll send you the following books absolutely free. Eat, Run, Stay Fit, and Die Anyway. How to Seem Intelligent. There's Big Money in Staying Put. Peace of Mind by Losing Complete Control for 16 Hours a Day. Your Thighs Control Your Life. How to Fillet a Panda. Rid Yourself of Doubt, or Should You? Chances are your sister's full of How to Give Yourself a Complete Physical Without Getting Undressed, 64 Good Reasons for Giving Up Hope, 100 Dead People Nobody Misses, Backpacking for Shut-Ins, My Dog is a Real Fruit, Your Shoes Are Worth Money, Reorganizing Your Pockets, What to Wear on the Toilet, 124 Simple Exercises for the Teeth, The Stains in Your Shorts Can Indicate Your Future, Tips on Getting Laid, Self-Mutilation as an Attention Getter, 600 Ways to Give People the Shaft, Tremble Your Way to Fitness, You Give Me 6 Weeks and I'll Give You Some Disease. And if you join today, we'll send the following books absolutely free. Poems for the Insane, A Treasury of Poorly Understood Ideas, Apartment Hunting for Devil Worshippers, A Complete List of All the Things That Are Still Pending, and these books on food are yours. The Intravenous Cookbook, The Meaning of Corn, Fill Your Life with Croutons, The Food Coloring Diet, Cooking for the Paralyzed, Cooking with Heat. And if you join today, we'll send the following books absolutely free. Controlling Fear Without Getting Frightened, Things No One Can Help, Understanding People You'll Never Meet, 6 Ways to F*** Up Before Breakfast, Marriage for One, I Suck, You Suck, Let's Change the Alphabet, Famous Bull Stories, Sport Fishing with Power Saws, Why Hawaii and Norway Are Not Near Each Other, and if you join today, we'll send the following books absolutely free, A List of People Who Mean Well, Don't Throw Away Your Old Skin, 10 Things We Don't Know Yet, Caring for the Seated, The Wrong Underwear Can Kill, Trotting Across Zaire, Why It Doesn't Snow Anymore, The Complete List of Everyone's Personal Effects, 6 Cities No One Has Ever Been To, I Gave Up Hope and Died and It Worked, Famous People Who Were Wiry, The Lives of 6 Extremely Short Saints, Anime Wong's Are Made of Aluminum, and if you join today, we'll send the following instruction books absolutely free. How to Do Everything at Once, How to Give People Your Best Regards, How to Spoil Other People's Fun, How to Kill a Rat with an Oboe, How to Organize a Tupperware Gangbang, How to Wave Goodbye Without Moving Your Arms, How to Spot Truly Vicious People in Church, How to Get Back from Boston, How to Lease Out the Space Inside Your Nose, How to Get a Tan with a Flashlight, How to Start a Range War, How to Spot a Creep from a Distance, How to Give a King a Really Hard Time, How to Kill Your Nephew, How to Become a Grease Ball, and How to Turn Unbearable Pain into Extra Income. So call now, right now. Join the book club today.
In his last year of life, Carlin was still performing, in a darker tone again. Here, he announces Americans' patriotic beliefs as so much BS. And, of course, talk of BS leads him back to the subject of parenting. You see a love of children throughout all of Carlin's career. And if you love children, you treat them with respect and encourage them to grow. You don't BS them. Speaking in 2008, at the end of his life, here is George Carlin.
Tell the truth, don't be bullshit, people. Like I say, there's enough bullshit as it is. There's enough bullshit as it is. In fact, there's just enough. Did you know that? There's just enough bullshit to hold things together in this country. Bullshit is the glue that binds us as a nation. Where would we be without our safe, familiar American bullshit? Land of the free, home of the brave, the American dream. All men are equal, justice is blind, the press is free, your vote counts. Business is honest, the good guys win, the police are on your side, God is watching you, your standard of living will never decline, and everything is going to be just fine. The official national bullshit story. I call it the American okie doke. Every one of those items is provably untrue at one level or another, but we believe them because they're pounded into our heads from the time we're children. That's what they do with that kind of thing. Pounded into the heads of kids because they know the children are much too young to be able to muster an intellectual defense against a sophisticated idea like that. And they know that up to a certain age, children believe everything their parents tell them. And as a result, they never learn to question things. Nobody questions things in this country anymore. Nobody questions anything. Everybody's too fat and happy. Everybody's got a cell phone that'll make pancakes and rub their way too prosperous for our own good. Way too prosperous. Americans have been bought off and silenced by toys and gizmos, and no one learns to question things. You remember? Now, speaking of parents and speaking of bullshit, two ideas which aren't always mutually exclusive, by the way, I'd like to mention a special kind of bullshit that has taken hold in this country in the last 30 to 40 years. It's a form of bullshit that really only can be called child worship. It's child worship. It's this excessive devotion to children. I'm talking about today's professional parents, these obsessive diaper sniffers who are overscheduling and overmanaging their children and robbing them of their childhoods. Even the simple act of playing. Even the simple act of playing has been taken away from children and put on mommy's schedule in the form of play dates. Something that should be spontaneous and free is now being rigidly planned. When does a kid ever get to sit in the yard with a stick anymore? You know, just sit there with a stick. Do today's kids even know what a stick is? You know? You sit in the yard with a stick and you dig a hole. You know? Yeah. And you look at the hole and you look at the stick and you have a little fun. But kids don't have sticks anymore. I don't think there are any sticks left. I think they've all been recalled because of lead paint. Who would have thought that one day the manufacturing of sticks would be outsourced to China? But you know something, a kid shouldn't be wasting his time with a stick anyway. If he's 4 years old, he should be home studying for his kindergarten entrance exams. Do you know about that? Oh, they have them now. Yeah, yeah. There are places that have kindergarten entrance exams. The poor little he can barely locate his You know, and already he's being pressured to succeed. Pressured to succeed for the sake of the parents. Isn't this really just a sophisticated form of child abuse? And speaking of that, speaking of child abuse, next up, grade school. Grade school, where he won't be allowed to play tag because it encourages victimization. And he won't be allowed to play dodgeball because it's exclusionary. And it promotes aggression. Standing around is still okay. Standing around is still permitted, but it won't be for long because sooner or later some kid is going to be standing around and his foot will fall asleep and his parents will sue the school and it'll be goodbye standing around. Yeah.
That concludes part two of our memorial to George Carlin on the anniversary of his death, June 22, 2008. You can find both programs in this series, and almost all of our earlier broadcasts besides, at our website, which is newworldnotes.blogspot.com. From Darkest Connecticut, this is Kenneth Doust, thanking you for listening to New World Notes. Illegitimi non carborundum. Try to speak the truth. Be kind to your web-footed friends. And please come back again next week. Ciao.